We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Good morning, Albert Nico. Doug Cinceri is playing hooky today. And so I have a special guest with me today, Greg Masson. Greg was with Martin Insurance Agency, also a very good friend of mine. We will be discussing insurance policies, what the different coverages are, what you need, what you don't need, why you need it. Welcome, Greg. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good, Albert. Happy Father's Day to you.
And, Happy Father's Day to you.
How are you doing today?
I'm all good. We, it's I had to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a good Sunday morning. That's Father's Day, but and thank you for doing that and leaving your young family.
Not a problem.
Hopefully, they're all still sleeping.
Two out of the three were still sleeping, so it's a win. Probably still sleeping when I get back. All good though.
That's all good. Yeah. Do want to wish a happy Father's Day to all out there. A friend of mine told me a little joke that he saw running around Facebook that. You better thank your dads for being here, for right. Bringing y'all into the world, because if it was up to mom, she was never in the mood.
Headache or something.
Yeah, of course, right. Of course. So thank the dads for the population of the earth. But I had a wonderful dad. He died when I was 18 years old, but it just taught me so many things about life, et cetera.
Right.
And bless you, Dad.
Yep.
Wanted to talk a little bit, just like Doug and I do.
Right.
We're going to talk a little sports for the first couple minutes.
Love
because
it.
Obviously there's some big news. Greg's a big basketball fan. In fact, he runs our league over at St. Catherine. We play in another league together. And, we pretend like we know a little bit about basketball.
Right.
So, I know. Nobody knows yet, right?
Right.
No crystal ball. No.
Never know what you're going to get with the picks.
Yeah. No. Fifth quarter quarterback. But what is the your grading or rating of the trade?
I like the trade because with Anthony Davis, you were kind of being held hostage. He wanted to leave anyway, so you're not getting dollar for dollar for the value of him. So he's a better player than what we got in return, my opinion is. But I think Boston backing out with what happened to KD, not, ruptures his Achilles, so he can't go to the Knicks. So it kind of diminished everything right before the trade happened. So I think Griffin did a good job of what he got back in return. You said, you won't know until time takes what happens. And there's also talk of us flipping that fourth pick and maybe another player to get something else. So mm-hmm. I like the trade. I mean, we were kind of being held at ransom. But, I think we got the best return that we could for the situation.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, Archie Manning played here, 10 seasons for
right.
whatever it was. But he gave it his best. He was a New Orleans man. He
right.
moved here, raised his family here, and he never had a winning season.
Right.
And he's a legend, and the reason is this city – just want somebody that cares about New Orleans and is going to give their best, give them 100%.
Right.
Anthony Davis, when you say, I don't want to be here.
Right.
Don't let it hit you in the door,
exactly.
my friend.
Exactly.
And so he would have never been able to rehabilitate himself after those comments. So.
And then the shirt, the That's All Folks shirt. I mean.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
He says he doesn't pick out his wardrobe. I mean, come
right.
on.
Yeah,
man.
Well, yeah, you got to own it at some point, right?
Right.
Listen, great player. It's a prime example of when the player is bigger than the franchise.
Sure.
I think it's a real challenge, and I think the new GM is loving the fact that, man, I get to play this chess game
right.
now, right? I mean, it's kind of what moves them.
Yeah, right.
And so you're right. I think they did a great job considering what they were left with.
Right.
Don't expect Zion to come in and be Anthony Davis right away.
Take 2 to 3 years before you really get that perennial all-star if everything works out well.
Yes. And you know, and I'll be honest with you, I may be one of the people that's not a big fan of Zion at the first pick. And,
right.
And the reason is, I mean, you know, you're thinking you want to replace Anthony Davis. Well, you can't because there's like two guys in the world that may be like that.
Right.
You know, KD and LeBron. But otherwise, Zion 6'7"?
6'8", yeah. 6'8"? He's around there.
Right? So he's too small to kind of play the five in the NBA.
Never going to play the five.
I don't know that he has the offensive skills to play a small four.
No.
Right? And certainly not a shooter.
No.
So what do you got?
You got a
big, strong kid, raw talent, right?
Correct. He can play defense well. He moves very well, too. So
he moves very well for being so thick.
But you're not going to put him at the five and let him bang, you know, with big bigs. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
So
what do you do with him?
He's a very unique talent. I mean, it's like everybody says. It's like there's no doubt that he's the number one pick. The generational talent. But then it's like, how does he fit in? Because he's not your stereotypical basketball player. You can't say, like, well, he's a five, he's a four, he's a three. He's just kind of off the charts athleticism.
Yeah.
And then it's the other concern is being that big, does the body break down at some point?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, look at Boogie, you know. He got an Achilles because I'm pushing 300 pounds around.
Right.
You know, up and the game's different.
Yeah.
You know, if you can compare him to somebody that has played, I would compare him to Charles Barkley.
Right. Yeah.
You know, a guy that's kind of big and thick, maybe a little undersized.
Right.
He's gonna play hard, get you some good rebounds,
some
good putbacks. But that game's different now.
Correct.
We're not dumping the ball inside and saying go deal on somebody as much anymore.
It's not just one-on-one, bang this guy, because with so much help, everybody's quick and long. They get there quick. I would take him one, no doubt. But it's like a player with that athleticism, if he does get hurt, then that diminishes it. So it's not like he's a pure shooter. Where like with KD with the Achilles, I think he's such a great shooter that he'll come back and he'll be okay. But then like DeMarcus Cousins, he was a big that was athletic.
Yeah.
And now look at him. You know, he gets that and he's getting nicked up. So he's a shell of what he was before.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, with Zion, if he starts to have injuries or anything major, it's going to have more of an effect on than it would what I think is going to end up happening with KD. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, I'll tell you, I love a lot of draft picks. You know, there's a lot of hope in draft picks. And, you know, somebody texted, oh, good, it gives the Pelicans, you know, four chances to screw it up.
Right.
But I think, you know, you got a different front office now. You got I'm still not a big fan of keeping Gentry.
Right.
He's still got a record of, like, I don't know, 42-43%.
It's not good.
He's been
good
with five different teams as a head coach, and that's his coaching record. He's had enough chances here.
Right.
You know, and your coach does a few things as an NBA coach. You make sure these guys play together. You straighten out the locker room problems. You don't get on and start bashing your players. And then you encourage minutes. You determine what minutes this one's going to play, this one, who's going to rest here. This guy's got a little streak going. I'm going to keep him in a little bit longer. I'm not going to stick to my script. I'm going to let this guy come in a little bit. You know, and those are the things I think he's he lacks skills at. You know, look at Popovich and those guys that they just know, you know, and I'm going to keep you out for the whole game. I'm going to rest you for the whole game because we really don't need this game.
Playing the long game.
And then, of course, the NBA got in on that.
I was surprised that they didn't give him a bigger look to get a new coach. But it seems like even when Griffin came in and everything that I read, everybody well liked him, well respected. And they thought that maybe he wasn't the main issue. It was
Demps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like now Griffin seems to be doing the right thing. But it seemed like everybody who talked to Gentry, it seemed like, no, we're going to move forward with this guy. You would think at this point you would just want a clean start. Got the one pick coming in.
Yeah, and I get. That's what I would think.
Right.
Let's clean house and start fresh.
Yeah.
Right. And then you know the problem he had year after year is closing out games.
Right.
He would I would watch and he would be winning by 2, 3, 5,
frustrating
down
stuff.
2 or 3, and you know getting a one-on-one situation with Drew or just you know not have the right call or the right time.
That's what they were. Somebody was making a joke. There was a Phoenix game late in the season that he just made terrible management, terrible possession, wasn't calling timeouts when he was supposed to. Pelicans end up losing the game, and that was one of the big things that moved us up 2 spots that ended up getting Zion. So somebody was joking. It was like,
he's a genius.
Know, Gentry's bad coaching actually got us a better pick. So maybe he does know what he's doing. I'm like, I think that might be dumb luck, but,
Right. Or, you know, at that point, maybe you're jockeying for position.
I would think so, but there
was a throwaway season. AD's leaving. We got to get somebody.
There were some games though that we won that it's just like put in the end of the bench and just let them get some minutes and let's get that pick lower. But you know, it all works out in the end, and now everybody looks like a genius. I mean, they really did hit the lottery where they got Zion, because before you were talking about best case scenarios, you were trying to trade AD for that number one pick to get Zion.
That's right.
That one falls in your hand.
And now all of a sudden you got AD to trade.
Right. You got a top 5 pick coming in. You got decent role players. I'm not crazy about the Ball kid or more so his family, father. But I think he's a tradable asset if you wanted to do that, if you package that with a number 4 pick that you got back into it. I think you could turn that into
exactly
a veteran that can come in. We need a shooter. I mean, we've got a bunch of big guys.
You got to score points.
Right.
You got to be able to have a guy that can stand out in the 3-point line and open the court up.
Right.
And if you got to, Mirotić was our guy. He barely played.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so, I mean, here, you got to look at, Boogie was our guy.
Yeah.
He was like the number 9 choice.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, what are we doing wrong?
Right.
We're not getting players that can come in and play, you know?
It's tough. It seems like the Pelicans have always had a problem with that shooter at small forward, that 3, that we've just never been able to get somebody to come here. And, like, Ingram come in, he's going to be decent, but that's the best small forward we've had.
All right, look, we're going to take a little break, and we will get into our insurance discussion because it is all things legal. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll see you then. Hey, we're back. Albert Nico, Greg Masson, Doug Cinceri playing hooky today. He'll be back in a couple of weeks. He'll be out a couple of weeks this week and next. Greg is an insurance agent with Martin Insurance Agency. Let's start talking a bit about that. So,
okay.
Tell us the difference between a general agency and an agency, say, for an Allstate or a State Farm.
So a general agency is what's considered an independent agent. So they have different companies they deal with. They'll shop policies around to find you the most competitive rate, best coverages.
Right.
Like an Allstate or State Farm, they only sell their product. So they're what's considered like a captive agency where they can only sell, this.
Right.
So an independent agent just gives you more options.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, my mother-in-law was an Allstate agent, God rest her soul, and you know, after she passed away, I told my wife, I said, okay, this is it. I wanted the opportunity to be able to shop and see who has the better price, the better coverage, because there are companies coming in and out of the market all the time, and the traditional ones that have been around for a long, long time that don't necessarily have a storefront that use guys like you, the Martin Insurance Agency, to sell their product.
Right.
And so it gives you that opportunity to get a better price.
Yeah. And then in a post-Katrina world, when State Farm Allstate didn't want to write wind coverage down here for a while, it really opened everything up, where now it's like people started going out. Because, it's not strange to hear somebody, oh, I've been with State Farm Allstate for 30 years.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever shopped your policy? Never.
Right.
And then, but State Farm and Allstate, they do very well. But when you can't write wind coverage in Orleans, Jefferson Parish, it severely limits your options there. It kind of opened things up for an independent agency that we never had issues like that.
Right. Well, and of course, you always then had the right to write policies with Citizens, which is...
Yeah. Right.
Which everybody has, right?
Correct. Yeah, the policy of last resort is what it's considered. That was set up for when you can't write something else. Like, right. No other company will write it. So Citizens is a state fund that says, we'll write anything. But then, you know, your premium, you're paying a premium for that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in a perfect world, Citizens doesn't want to write policies.
Right.
But they're there to make sure that everybody can be covered.
Exactly.
After Katrina, we wrote a lot of Citizens policies because there wasn't too many markets available. But nowadays, writing a piece of business with Citizens is few and far between.
Yeah, and you've been able to shift a lot of that over, right?
Sure, yeah. They've had a lot of takeout companies that have bought, taken over Citizens' business, Access, Southern Fidelity, to name two. But they're buying policies from Citizens just so Citizens doesn't have to write them, because Citizens, I don't believe, wants to write them.
Right.
But so, yeah, so now it's very, very rare you're writing.
So Access is buying policies from Citizens.
They had been, yeah. It's what's considered a takeout company. Mm-hmm. So Citizens would show them a list of policies that they have, and then the takeout company would say, we want to pick this. So this criteria that they use.
Right,
that,
so whatever their risk they want to write.
Sure, mm-hmm. Right. So they would just transfer the policy over. You don't even rewrite a policy, just at the next renewal comes in and you get an offer from Access that they're willing. You could stay with Citizens at the time if you wanted to, mm-hmm. but you know, most of the cases it was a cheaper policy with a better company.
Okay, well, let's take a quick call. We have Albert on line one. Has a question about insurance. Hey, Albert, welcome to the program.
Hey, happy Sunday, guys. How you doing?
Happy Sunday. Are you a dad?
Yes. Listen, regarding homeowners insurance, could you discuss the differences between a company that's admitted in Louisiana?
Okay, sure. So,
okay, yeah. So the question was, he was breaking up a little bit. The question was, can you tell the difference or explain the difference between a company that is admitted in Louisiana and a company that is not admitted? And that's a great question, Albert. Thank you for that call, because people don't understand that on the way in.
Right. So an admitted company is what's called a standard company, not admitted is surplus. Where that comes into is if the company were to fold or didn't have the ability to pay a claim, you wouldn't be covered by the Louisiana Guarantee Fund. So a standard admitted company, if the company were to fold, you have kind of a second layer of protection where the state pays you out.
Correct. Yeah, it's called LIGA. It's Louisiana Insurance Guarantee Association.
Right.
And it's again, a state-issued deal that where they protect it. So the admitted companies pay a premium, part of your premium, but they pay a premium to fund LIGA.
Right.
And then in the event that a company member, what was it, Champion Insurance Company,
right.
And all these other companies, a lot of auto companies especially, but these companies that just went insolvent and couldn't
right.
pay their bills, they were taken over by LIGA. And then LIGA pays, you know, only actual cash value.
I
mean, there are
a
lot of restrictions on it.
Not great coverage.
It's not, but it's something.
Correct.
And it's like, hey, I've been paying premiums all these years. At least I get something back because they went out of, you know. Okay, so listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We have a CBS News update and a local news. We'll be back in probably 4 or 5 minutes with Greg Masson, All Things Legal. We'll talk to you in a few minutes. Hey, we're back. Albert Nico. Doug Cinceri, All Things Legal. Doug is off today. Got special guest Greg Masson with the Martin Insurance Agency. We're talking insurance today. You know, it is hurricane season, and so we wanted to kind of talk a little bit about hurricane coverages and, you know, what to do, what not to do. And we also have a caller, Bill Hatchett. Bill and I have been friends for quite a while as well. Bill was the chairman for the Louisiana State Board of Home Inspectors, so he has a long history of inspecting homes. He also has a company called Wind Mitigation Specialists, I think. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Albert and Greg.
Good
yeah,
morning.
It's actually a wind mitigation surveyor.
Surveyors, okay, there you go. So tell us what a wind mitigation survey is, and in the insurance world, why is that important?
So very quickly, Commissioner Jim decided that before Katrina that he wanted to try to reward homes that were better designed with better products that were going to have less severe damages, wanted to reward those homes that could get credits off of their wind and hail portion of their policy. So Jim Donlin put that program together. It started January 1st, 2009. And it's based upon the shape of the roof, such as a hip roof is a better roof than a gable roof. Most of the shingles that we're putting on these days are wind-rated shingles. So there's a number of different credits. There's something like 8 or 10 different credits that you can get, including impact-rated windows and hurricane shutters. And these credits, in order to get those credits, you have to have a wind mitigation survey done by a registered wind mitigation surveyor, such as myself.
Uh-huh.
And that's turned into the insurance company, and they'll take a look at it and determine what kind of credits that you get.
Let me ask you this, Bill, is this a mandatory program for the insurance companies, or is this something that they can select to do or not select to do?
That is a loaded question because, Greg, we were discussing the fact about admitted companies and non-admitted companies. If they're admitted to Louisiana, they should follow the Louisiana wind mitigation loss credit system. However, today, as we know, so many companies after Katrina, they did not want to come in and become admitted to Louisiana, so they do not have to, although some will. I can tell you that where we see the biggest credits are coming from USAA. Anybody's got a USAA homeowners policy,
mm-hmm.
They can get these credits generally anywhere from like $400 to as much as $1,000 a year every year.
Right.
You only have to do this wind mitigation survey once, and it applies for every year.
Well, and that's the beauty of it because you've done two for me. And, you know, some of the things that we were looking at for, and actually I was glad because you did one for my house. And then when I built my camp down in the Wrigley's, you told me some of the things on the building end that, you know, would be necessary to get credits, and you get substantial credits. Sometimes it's too late, though, because your house is already built. And those would have been hurricane clips, you know, Simpson strong ties at the joints, certain types of bracing, clips for your sheathing on your roof, ice and water shield. It's kind of a rubberized product that you put over the seams of your sheathing on your roof before you even put the roof on. And I will tell you this. I have saved probably about $450 per year with my camp insurance.
Right.
And then my home, I had the shutters, I had the windows, the whole bit. I saved close to $900 a year.
Right.
Based on these two mitigation surveys.
Quick if you have, you know, nice wind mitigation credits there.
Right, right. And then Greg, do you talk to your clients about these credits? Is this something that they...
We bring it up. Most of, as Bill mentioned, the standard companies already, you know, they're the ones who give it the most. Most of my non-admitted companies, surplus lines markets, don't give wind mitigation credits. Nowadays, I used to deal with Bill a lot more after Katrina, getting those forms filled out, but now most of the companies, the biggest credit I usually see that most people can get is whether it's a hip roof or a gable roof.
I see.
So in the past, right after Katrina, you needed the wind mitigation form even to get that credit. Most of the companies now, when they do their inspection, you can see the roof shape. So
they're giving
that credit without the wind mitigation form. But there's still a lot of other credits if your house has, you know, all the things, secondary water resistance, you know, the decking on the roof, hurricane shutters, reinforced doors and windows, that there's some good credits there if you get it, you know, if you have that in place.
Right.
But it wouldn't make sense to go change everything out to get the credits. You know?
Yeah, well, but if you're updating, if you're
without
doing whatever,
doubt.
Sure.
Right.
Well,
if you're building new, like you said with your camp, when you talk to Bill and he tells you this.
Yeah, what do I get credits for? Let's throw them in.
Perfect. Let's do it now while we can do this.
Correct. So even what we did, too, we didn't have the windows that were the impact resistant, but we were able to get these little screws that stick out around the outside, and we showed them where the plywood was, and we put them up before storms, et cetera, and that counted. That counted towards the credits. So, Bill, what does someone have to do? How do they go about getting a survey to see if they can save some money on their homeowners?
Well, they certainly can contact us. And
what's that number?
Okay, number is area code 504-439-2860.
Okay.
Or they can go to the website. I have a website which is windmitigationsurveyors.com.
Okay.
And there'll be information about that. And also point out one thing. Just because you have an older home that may not have some of these things, certain insurance companies such as Chubb, which deals in the high-value homes, they give some extremely good credits, even though these homes may be 100 years old, because they were built with certain things in certain locations. So just because it is an older home doesn't mean that you can't get these credits.
Sure, sure. But I think anybody can, you know, put some hurricane shutters on or even even some decorative shutters that are. And if you are upgrading your windows, let's say you have old drafty windows, you're putting new windows in. If you do the, you know, you spend the extra $100 a window and get the impact resistant. It's a little bit more money on the front end, but then if you get your wind mitigation survey, it kind of pays for that extra protection over time.
Exactly.
But
right. And the other thing that's going to be happening soon now is that, you know, once we had Katrina, then everybody got new roofs. Well, we're now get all those roofs now are at the stage of coming up to, for replacement in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the, one of the really good credits is called a secondary water barrier, which you just pointed out. If it is a plywood deck, they can tape all those joints and seams on that roof deck so that water can't get through if you lose roofing materials. And then there's a rollout, a peel and stick rollout product that you just roll out and on top of the roof before you put the felt paper and shingles down.
Right.
And that's one of the really good credits. So right now there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be getting new roofs, but I bet you the roofer doesn't even tell you about it.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully, if there's some roofers listening, I know we do have a lot of contractors, a lot of roofers. It's a great idea to kind of offer that to your client and say, "Hey, look, it's going to cost you a few dollars more on the front end, but contact these folks. You'll be able to save that and get, you know, recoup that money and have extra protection on your roof in the event the shingles come off and it's a valley and you want it protected with the rubberized membrane."
Right.
But, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that if there's anybody that's going to be building, they need to kind of contact us in advance, just like you were saying with your camp. And by the way, you call it a camp, but your wife calls it the lake house.
Right. Well, because she said, "I ain't going to no camp." Right. So I said, "All right, we'll make it nice." So, it is. It's a nice place to go and hang out. But, you know, Doug, of course, exaggerates when he talks about it, that I have a security guard up front and all that nonsense. But
it's actually two security guards.
Yeah. But anyway, no, but you're right. And I was very fortunate to have this knowledge on the way in, because we literally have been saving probably $400 to $500 a year, every year on insurance based upon these wind mitigation factors that we were able to incorporate into the house, building it on the way in.
Yeah. If you can do it, even like Bill said, on an older home, if it's there, that's great. But if, you know, planning ahead of time, you know, you're going to put money into the house already. I'm going to do this and save money. You know, that's great right there.
Well, and even so, Bill, what would happen? How would, if somebody has access to their attic, for instance, and they can go put, hurricane clips just after the fact across the roof ridge and along the connections where the roof connects to the ceiling joists.
That is possible, but frequently it's very difficult because you got to be able to get into that small space where the rafters are coming down to the top of the wall.
Okay.
So some of the older roof designs that where the pitch was fairly low,
it's
difficult to get in there. If it's a higher pitch, you can get in there. Of course, it's a December type job.
You don't want to be doing it now. But they would offer credits then for that. For that retrofit, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yeah, and there are things you can do, again, with the shutters that primarily you reinforce doors.
Right.
And if you are renovating, it's probably a good idea to get on the website to talk to Bill to see.
Even like, Bill, isn't this correct? Even like spray foam, closed cell, in an attic will give you the secondary water-resistant credit?
You're absolutely correct, Greg. That would be the third way to do a secondary water barrier. The first is to tape the joints. The second is to use a peel and stick, like a rollout ice and water shield.
Yeah.
And the third way is with closed cell spray foam on the inside. However, a lot of people choose not to do that because there's two types. There's a closed cell, which does not allow water to come through. But what most people use is they use the open cell, which allows water to seep through, which is not a secondary barrier.
Right.
And the reason for that is there is a belief that if you use the closed cell and there is a leak, water can't get out, and it winds up, you know, damaging the roof deck.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people don't do that. But
yeah, you won't know that you have a leak because you won't see it come through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for those that, and I do run into people that have the closed cell, as I recall, Albert, you on your house.
I do.
I put it on mine too, just for that main reason. There was pluses and minuses to the open and close, but I did the close mainly from an insurance standpoint.
Okay, well, Bill, listen, we've got to go take a break. Could you give us the number to call and the name again so we can get in touch with you and let them know how to get a hold of you?
Right. It is windmitigationsurveyors.com. A phone number is area code 504-439-2860. And anybody that has USAA or Chubb, they should get some really good credits.
That's Sounds great.
Great. Okay.
Bill, thank you so much for the call.
Thanks,
we got to take
Bill.
A break, and we'll be back with Greg Massa on All Things Legal in just a few moments. Hey, we're back. Albert Nico here with Greg Masson with Martin Insurance Agency. Doug is off today playing hooky, and so I'm at the controls. We're talking a little bit about the wind mitigation surveys, and somebody called because Bill Hatchett with Wind Mitigation Surveyors called in and left his number, and somebody said, look, the number was called too fast. Let me get it again. It's 504-439-2860. And if you don't have the number, if I said that too fast, you can always go to windmitigationsurveyors.com and learn all about it and get the phone number from them. But no, it's a good thing to do. And yeah, I'd forgotten about the closed cell phone, because that was another thing that we put it in our attic, and both in both parts of the house, and it's made a difference not only in my electric bill, but also part of my wind mitigation.
Sure.
So I pay less on my homeowners every year.
I put the closed cell in my house as well, and the main concern was the insurance savings, and then even bigger than that was the heat savings, because I didn't have to run my ACs nearly as much with that closed cell.
Right. So we wanted to follow up too before we had Bill on. Before the last hour, we were talking a little bit about the difference between admitted and non-admitted companies, and is it a bad thing to have a non-admitted company or a surplus lines company or different types of companies, and kind of explain that if you would.
Sure, not a bad thing on the surface. You just want to make sure you do your homework on a non-admitted company. You want a company that's been around for a while. You want a company that writes a lot of business, has their risks spread out nicely. They're not just what should throw up a red flag is if it's a new company, if it's a company that just started writing in New Orleans or Louisiana or something. You just want to do your homework and make sure that they've been, because like a Lloyd's of London market is, considered a non-admitted company.
Right.
They've been around forever. They started the insurance business. So, going with the Lloyd's of London isn't necessarily a bad thing. But, ABC Upstart Insurance that just started writing policies 2 months ago, that's what I would definitely shy away from something like that. But if it's a company that's been around for a while, writes a lot of business, the non-admitted doesn't scare me off as much as it does on the surface when you look at it.
Right. Right. And then when you say do your homework, obviously that's something you'll do for your client.
Oh, sure.
And as a client, you want to be educated. As a customer of insurance, you want to be educated and say, hey, is this an admitted company? And you need to ask the right question, because depending on what agent you go to, they're going to sometimes read you and say, okay, this guy just wants the cheapest policy he can get.
Right.
So I'm just going to throw him in this XYZ company that's been around for 6 months, because he just wants cheap.
With no care, knowing I'm going to have them sign a contract that if something happened to XYZ company, I'm off the hook because you signed the application.
Sure, sure.
So you need to make sure that, your insurance agent does their homework on it. Our agency doesn't deal with, we have some criteria for non-admitted companies. Mm-hmm. We've had people approach us and we're just starting to write business. We'd like to write it with your agency. It's not a good idea, because it just opens yourself up to issues later.
Right. To understand the insurance market, it's about spreading risk.
Correct.
If you're going to insure one house on the lakefront, you're going to lose money.
Right.
But if you're going to, a big storm comes and blows the house down, you've lost all your money. So the goal of the insurance company, not necessarily the agency, is to spread that risk. Right. So we want a lot of good risk, and we'll take some bad risk, because we're going to get a little higher premium for that bad
raise
risk.
Raise those premiums up.
And so that premium is going to be spread over a lot. So like Greg said, you want it to be a company that has written a lot of stuff, so they're not going to get hit too hard by certain risks that they write.
Correct.
All right, so we need to take another break, and we'll be at the last break of our first hour. We'll be back in just a few minutes, talk a little bit more, we'll take your calls and answer some texts right here on All Things Legal. Okay, we're back. We got about a minute or so before our next break. I do have a quick question that was texted. Happy Father's Day. Can a spouse write in a will that the surviving spouse does not get usufruct? And the answer is yes. She will not get usufruct over the deceased spouse part of the community. Of course, she will own her part of the community outright at that point. So she'll own half of everything. But as a husband, wife to your spouse, you can write in a will that I don't want my spouse to have usufruct of the house, of my portion of it. So she would just then be a co-owner and not an owner with usufruct over the remaining portion. All right, we'll be back in about 10 minutes. All things legal after this hard break. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.